הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the Judge Eve show, and that was me singing. In Hebrew it means be happy, let us all be happy, and brothers, let us wake up with a happy heart. And it's especially appropriate today because I have a wonderful Jewish believer as my guest, Rozi Press, and I'll tell you a little bit about her. But first, I would like to pray especially for the people in Colorado who have been suffering so much water inundation, to say the least. I'm thinking of the word Mabul in Hebrew, you know, the flood, the great flood in the Bible. But Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. We lift up those people in Colorado to you. We thank you for protecting them. We thank you for stopping that excessive rain. Let everything come back to normal, and while we're at it, do the same for the whole country and the whole world, in Jesus' name. And let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. And Rozi, she's a Jewish believer. I'll have her tell us a little bit about it. She was married to an American pilot, a military pilot, and because of that had been all over the world. As she says, she works for the Lord, which I know from having seen her email. She's amazing. She was in Iran, and actually some people thought I was wrong, but no, she was there in 1978 when there were hostages, and because of her many efforts, about 40,000 people got to leave the country. I'll have her tell us in more detail. Also, she had been a teacher with the Los Angeles Unified School District, where she was actually injured by a student, actually at a school where my son attended, Sepulveda Junior High, in the San Fernando Valley, and has been disabled ever since and has encountered terrible judicial, legal, and medical corruption, as have I. And we'll have her tell us all about it. Rozi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Blessing to be here. I'm just so honored. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't realize you're from New York. Are you with that accent?
No, that's what everybody says. No, I'm a Valley girl, blonde Valley girl.
You're kidding. My goodness. You really do sound like you have a New York accent, though. The blonde is unusual, right?
Right. Well, I think of myself as a blonde. Maybe it was sprayed with the fire extinguisher that I now sound. New Yorker.
That's funny. But were you born in the Los Angeles area?
I was born in Chicago and came when I was 2 years old, so I'm really a native here.
You really are. It's so amazing how you do so sound like you'd be from New York. Maybe that's the Iranian influence, you think?
Maybe. Maybe it's been living all over the world.
I think so, too. But I want to ask you, how long have you known the Lord in your life?
At least 26 years.
And you were raised Jewish, right? You came from
I was raised Jewish. My parents are still Jewish, and my sisters. And I just couldn't understand how I didn't get the support, and people were for the things that really weren't right.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I was going through a terrible time. We were stationed in Germany at Ramstein Air Force Base, which is southwest Germany.
You and your husband at the time.
Correct, and my children.
Yes.
And we had an appointment, and we went to see a pastor, and I said to him, I'm not coming back because you're reading me the Bible and you're too religious.
Why did you go to see a pastor, by the way? Was your husband Jewish?
He was Jewish. He had made arrangements to go see a pastor.
I'm sorry, your words were cut off. Did you say he was Jewish also?
Yes, he was.
Okay, but he made arrangements to see a pastor, huh?
Correct. And that we should see him about our marriage, and we went.
Yes.
And then when things didn't work out, I called the pastor back and said, you know, I can't make it. I don't understand it. And I came in and consulted with him for a few weeks. And finally I said, I want to accept the Lord.
You said that?
Yes.
What made you say that?
I had a lot of Christian friends through the years that were so loving and kind to me, and they talked to me about Jesus, and I'd ask questions, and I wasn't really interested, and I just looked at life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working out, and the people that I thought that were my family were always, you know, supporting the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand that.
Did you have any were your parents still alive when you accepted Jesus in your life?
I did. They did not persecute me. They liked my friends. My mother would come to some of the functions. I went to the church on the way when I finally came back to live in the valley, the San Fernando Valley.
And see, that's where I went when I got saved. You know, my husband Cohen divorced me because of my belief in Jesus. But for some reason, he was in law school at the San Fernando Valley College of Law, and he let me go to Bible studies. So Wednesday nights, I would go to church on the way. Wasn't it a wonderful place?
It was wonderful. It taught you really how to be loving and kind and accepting and really being a servant for God.
Amen.
It's not about us. It has nothing to do with us. It's about serving other people.
Yeah.
And I realized even injured at school,
yeah,
you know, God is with me, but
yeah,
it's about going out and speaking up for the Lord. Proverbs 31:9, to speak up for the poor and needy.
Yeah.
And that's where life is, to be a blessing to others.
And I'm going to jump a little bit, but I was going to say, you know, I call God the master of setup. He never lets us go through situations when he's also Lord of our lives, except that he has a reason to use it. You know, even if we get injured and hurt, he uses that to achieve some of the purposes, you know, that he has in life.
Oh,
by
right.
Way,
that's what's kept me going here, because most of the time I'm so sick.
Oh.
But that's what's kept me going. I'd like to go back for a minute, really tell people how God works. I was in Germany. I didn't know where I was going to go. I was a person with a country without a state.
I was divorced.
And I could have lived in any of the 50 states.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, God sent a pilot from California to Germany to my Bible study who told me about the church on the way.
You're kidding. Wow.
No.
Wow.
I have had the most incredible life with God. And I also got parking places in Europe, which is unheard of.
Yeah, I was going to say Church on the Ways, where Pastor Hayford, Jack Hayford, had been the head pastor. And, I mean, he's just amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, and the church started with about 28 people, I think, when they first started. You know,
right, in their chapel.
Exactly. You know, my office, when I worked as a judge, was across the street from Church on the Way. Isn't that amazing? And how big is the church now? What, about 10,000 people or more, or do you know?
It used to be at one time 12,000, 14,000, and then they branched off into a Spanish church, and now they have church, I think, in Santa Clarita. And it's a very big church, very loving and kind, and I can't say enough wonderful things about it.
I agree.
And my mother loved to get, during the Christmas tours of the homes, she would love to get a hug from Jack and Anna. They're so wonderful.
Yes, aren't I? Know. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Your words are being cut off. You said that during the holidays, they go out and visit the people? Is that what happens?
Well, years ago, they used to have home tours, which they don't have anymore.
Yeah.
And I used to take my mother, and one of the homes was the Hayfords' home. And my mother loved to get a hug from Jack and Anna, as we all did.
Oh, aren't they wonderful? I know. I've only met Anna a couple of times, but I've met Jack quite a few times. You know, and like
right.
I say, I to me too, I felt what you're describing, the love in that place. It's just so amazing and so demonstrative, right, of what Jesus wants his people to be like, you know, to be loving
exactly.
and kind.
Exactly.
So go ahead.
I led a prayer group in 2003 for
yes.
soldiers, families, and friends.
At the church?
And that was, yes, a church on the way.
Oh.
And that was a blessing.
Oh, I bet. Tell me this, before Germany, when was it that you traveled all over the world? Was it before Germany then?
Well, we lived all over America.
Yes.
After we were married, we went to pilot training in Laredo, Texas.
Wow.
And Idaho. My son was born in Laredo, Texas. My daughter was born in Mountain Home, Idaho.
Wow.
We were at the National War College in Washington, D.C. We were at Fort Leavenworth at the Command and Staff School. I've even been to Area 51. We had the
wow.
aggressive Nellis Air Force Base. We've been there a few times.
Yes,
in
Las Vegas.
Right, Las Vegas, Nevada. We
right.
were in Germany at Ramstein Air Force Base twice. We were stationed there. And we
what
lived out
city?
In
what city is it next to? I'm not familiar with it. Is it next to Munich or Frankfurt?
Really, you're southwest. You're closer to France. Munich is farther away. Frankfurt, you're closer to. Probably an hour and a half away on the Autobahn.
Yes, right. And then from there, did you go to other countries as well?
Oh, yes, always traveling and into France, into Italy. Florence
yes.
is my favorite city in the whole world. I love Florence. In the Venice.
Yes.
To Denmark.
Yes.
I've been to Russia for the nuclear accident, it seems.
You're kidding. You mean when the plant exploded? Is that what it was?
Right.
Yes.
The nuclear accident. They didn't even tell the Russian people right at all.
Oh, my
God. So, and they had the clouds yeah. blowing over Europe and Italy, and they had high levels of radiation all over.
I know. Did that affect you in any way?
No. I
Thank
glow
God.
At night. I glow at night. I don't need the night light.
Maybe more ways than you realize, or it's the Lord's light, right?
Yes. The Lord's light.
It's the Lord's light. Then how did you end up in Iran, Rosie?
We were stationed there. It was an assignment.
Yes.
We went to Fort Leavenworth. We had met several Iranian officers and their wives, which was
yes.
a wonderful year of meeting officers from all over the world. And that was our next duty station. It wasn't
wow.
someplace we really wanted to go.
Yes.
But we were stationed there. We arrived August 30th.
Oh,
that's
which year? 1978, was it?
1978.
Yes.
And that was the day that the revolution started in Iran. It did not start when they took the hostages in 1979. It started
right.
August 30th of 1978.
And that's what people don't realize. That's when the Shah was deposed? Is that what the date
was? Well, the Shah was... there. He didn't leave till 79, I'm sorry. Till
1970. Really?
Yes.
Did they hold him hostage also, or how did he stay there if the revolution started?
Well, it started because they had fire bombings and bullets passing my windows, and the terrorists called me every day to ask me how I was doing, and then to tell me they wanted to kill me and all Americans constantly.
You mean those were Iranians, the terrorists or revolutionaries, or I don't know what they
yes.
were called?
Yes, they were college students that didn't have jobs, that became revolutionaries, that became terrorists. No, it was terrible.
Didn't the government take you out right away? Why did they allow you to stay?
Because President Carter wanted the whole world to know that nothing was going on. As a military wife... We were the front line of defense. We were to shop and play bridge.
Wow.
And our children to go to school. And that was my job over there.
what was your, what did you study? Did you study Persian, or what did you study?
I learned Persian in America so I could speak it, Farsi.
Yeah, Farsi, yes.
Farsi. And I could speak a little Farsi, and
yes.
I rented the apartment for us, and you had to be careful where you rented an apartment, because
oh, really?
You couldn't be in a cul-de-sac. You had to be able to get out of the street safely.
Really? That was actually a condition you were told about?
Right.
Wow.
You really had to be careful where you were.
Yes.
Always.
Right.
And you had to really watch what you were doing, watch what you were saying.
Wow.
You didn't want to get killed.
It's almost like living in Germany, right, during the Second World War, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
My goodness. You know, because people have said to me, oh, no, you know, I'm wrong about the 40,000. There were only 4,000 that were let go. But that was the embassy later on when Reagan became president, right? Or just
yeah,
in
that they were held 400 and something days, but that was less people. It was because the city was burning November 4th. I want to say something about August 30th, which is very important.
And again, 1978, just so we're clear.
Yes,
go
when
ahead.
The Iran Revolution started.
Yes.
It was the same day that President Obama was announcing about going to Syria. And
right.
I believe they like to do the same thing, the terrorists. They like to repeat what they have done the next year or the year after. They like to commemorate their dastardly deeds, as we shall say. They like to read those things.
That's why you did it August 30th this year? You're kidding.
He announced that. And everybody should be aware of what's really going on.
Exactly. Absolutely. I read a lot about these situations, and I always need to hear everything that's going on. So this
right.
was the chemical attack was done on that day or close to that day for that reason, to bring back the memory of Iran?
No. In Iran, there was no chemicals done. They had the insurrection in Jawaharlal Square, which started the revolution in Iran on August 30th of 1978.
Right.
This is when everything started. This is also the day now that President Obama, August 30th of 2013, announced about Syria.
That's what I mean. In other words, this time there was an alleged chemical attack. And by the way,
right.
may I say that we don't know that it was done by the administration there. Some people think it was done by the rebels. Some people think it was done by our CIA. Some people think it was done by Al-Qaeda. So we don't really know what brought that about. But as you just said, it could have been the reason to cause Obama to declare a war in Syria, in effect, on August 30th.
Right, because the terrorists do like to use these same days, I won't just connect the dots, the
yes.
same days to bring up all these things. And you
wow.
will never know who really does anything because nobody tells the truth.
There we
nobody
go.
Nobody tells the truth about anything.
Yeah, I know. That I know.
Okay.
God, am
I want
learning.
To tell your audience that. And we're close to the Third World War, and
yes.
we need speak up, and we need to save ourselves.
Yes, thank you, Rosie, because that's what I know. Jesus spoke through my mouth about 3 years ago that he's coming back in my lifetime, and we're right at the verge of the Third World War and Armageddon and his return. The good thing is that he is returning, but you're right. Part of my job, by the way, is to lead people and their property to safety because, you know, we have concentration camps in America already. And people
right.
need to know that.
But right, the FEMA camps.
That's in part, yes, exactly.
Right.
And they have trains with shackles, and they have gas already being set up. Unbelievable, unbelievable to me. And, you know, I'm a prophet, Rosie. You know, God really shows me things way ahead of time. And about 35 years ago, he started showing me and telling me that we would have concentration camps in America. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this. And about 10 years later, my mother's friends who were concentration camp refugees, you know, survivors from Germany, they would say to me in Los Angeles that we were seeing then exactly the same conditions that was seeing in Nazi Germany before they were taken to the camps. Are you seeing the same thing here now that you saw in Iran, for example?
Oh, yes. I have been at both of Brad Sherman's town hall meetings here. I open my mouth at every group I go to.
Good.
Telling people they must call. I don't people. Some woman came up to me after me and told me I didn't know anything, and I had a few words.
Yeah.
I know it. I lived it. I was there. You know, I'm a Valley girl. Who would have thought a Valley girl, nothing happened. You go to Bob, Big Boy. I went to Grand with all the movie stars. And here I am in a war zone. Here I am experiencing all these things, nuclear accidents, terrorist attacks in Germany, people shooting at me, telling me they want to kill me.
You know why? Rosie, you know why? You were living ahead of time what everybody else will be subjected to. Do you realize that?
Yes.
Yes.
It was like, not to do what I'd like to have a quiet moment here.
I'd like to have
a quiet moment here.
Yes. Yes.
But it is, and people have to call. You have to call. The biggest amount of people calling was about Syria. And everybody listening in the audience, you must call. You must call about Obamacare, because that's going to be just about workers' comp. The president let the four men die in Benghazi with Hillary and Susan Rice, and they called it a video.
Yes.
Steve Klein's a good friend of mine. They put his family and Sam and all the actors and their families in jeopardy.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. It is terrible. We have the IRS scandal.
I know.
The NSA.
Spying.
Obama signed in July that executive order.
Yes.
He's back in our private life, in every one of our businesses. You know, I always said as a military wife, when they kill everybody off, who are they going to play the game with?
Who is that? Exactly.
You know, they like to play these war games.
I know.
But they kill us off, it's over.
I know. And by the way, you know what Obama is doing by way of executive orders? He's bypassing Congress. So again and again, he's violating the Constitution. He's acting like a dictator. And some new things came up, which I've known about before. You know, he's gay. I love gay people. I don't mind gay people, but I don't like what they do, which is what God says in the Bible. But he'd go to bathhouses in Chicago. Everybody was shocked that he made it to be president and was a cocaine user. And this is what we have leading our country. And then born in Kenya. So we have somebody who just violates the Constitution by his life and is trying to have this country violate every aspect of our Constitution. So thank you for bringing it up, so it gives me a chance to say something. But let's go back, if we may, to 1978. So how did you finally get out? And the way I talked about you was for your much protesting. It started I think I misstated it at first, but about 40,000 soldiers and Americans got out because of what you did.
Well, Americans got out, military, there was only about 2,000 of us, 3,000, 4,000 military that got out, American military, and then after that it was Americans that got out. My husband at that time said that it was surprising all the blondes that came out of out of the mountains, Americans, to get on the planes to be evacuated out. It was amazing, he said.
You mean they ran to the mountains to escape, to hide?
No. They were just there.
Oh.
He said you could leave all the people that were really there in Iraq.
Oh, my.
They needed to be evacuated.
Wow. Are there still any Americans in Iran, do you know? Is it more open?
Oh, I'm certain people are everywhere.
Yes. How did you finally get out? Were you airlifted, or how did that come about?
The city was burning November 4th.
Yes.
And my husband goes off to do something. Everybody's doing something there. And then we were, we all signed up to leave. Carter didn't want us to leave, all of us together, to look like the city was falling, Tehran.
Wow. Oh, my.
And we all signed up. And if we were asked, we were supposed to say we were going on vacation because it was Christmas time.
Yes.
So we signed up to go out December 6th. And we knew when we left that would probably be it, that we were going out with just a suitcase of clothes. When we closed the door, we closed the door on everything we owned.
Oh, my goodness. So you actually lost everything, huh?
Wow. We lost everything.
Wow. Right. And what is it that you
did? Not our lives. The thing that's really important, I must stress to everybody, not our lives.
Yes.
These are only things. So we signed up, and we went for the plane on December 6th, and there was not a plane that came in for us.
Yes. Oh,
so I went back. I put all the food that I had made in the refrigerator. Remember, you must, if you're evacuating, bring food, layer your clothes, be prepared like a Girl Scout. And I went and I to the general's wife, and I said, we're all going to die, and we need a plane to get out of here. There's all these people that want to leave. My husband came home, and I said, I'll never forgive you if my children die here, if we die here.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have to defend ourselves with Molotov cocktails. We didn't have guns. And what were we going to do?
Yeah.
And I didn't want...
How did you know about Molotov cocktails? That's what the Israelis used in the War for Independence, you know, against the British.
They were always throwing Molotov cocktails there.
Oh, they did. Isn't it like putting alcohol in some glass or something,
You put gasoline in the glass, and you put a cloth, and you light it and throw it.
Oh, my God. And that's all you had, huh, for defense?
That's all we had. We'd have to make, and that's all we heard, because they were throwing them, and you could hear the bullets, too, at night. Their bullets, but we didn't have guns.
Exactly. So how did you cause the rest of the Americans to come out? What was it that you did?
Oh, whatever. Just one voice. We need your voice to speak up. And because I spoke up, and Americans said, the military, they had nothing to bring in, and there was nothing going on in Tehran, and here we had a command post if something happened. We had the bullets passing. I'm certain there was a few people that got shot and killed there. And here we were. And finally, we were told to go December 7th for the plane. And December 7th, isn't that a familiar day?
Yeah,
the evacuation started.
Yeah.
And wherever those 5A pilots that came in and rescued us, thank you. You're always in my heart. And I'm blessed.
Oh,
and they took us out, and we were so blessed to be able to go into Madrid, Spain. They allowed us to come in and join the Saudi Arabia. And after that, the planes were coming. The evacuation started.
Oh.
40,000 people got out.
Wow. All because of what you did. See? Isn't that amazing? And, Rosie, let us go now into more recent life. You've been a Los Angeles Unified School District teacher, right?
Right, correct.
For how many years? For a long time?
I am 3 years minus my 20, about three and a half. So it's about 16 and a half years total I taught.
And when was it that you taught at Sepulveda Junior High, which is a school in the San Fernando Valley, which is right outside of Los Angeles, California?
I started teaching there July of 2000, and December 8th of 2000, my students sprayed me in my face with a fire extinguisher.
December 8th. Are you listening? Can you imagine the day after December 7th?
Right.
Unbelievable. Let me say, because my youngest son went there, I used to live in Northridge, and I knew that that was like a gifted school and also a busing school. Would you say it was some of the kids who were bused in who did the spraying, or who did this to you?
Neighborhood gang students.
And nobody stopped them from working in the school?
They're coming. No. They weren't working. They were students in classes. It's a big gang area in North Hills now. And it's amazing that your children went there.
Well, my one child, because he was in a gifted program, so instead of going to Nobel Junior High, do you remember Nobel Junior High? I don't know if it's still there. The option was to go to Sepulveda to be bused there. So he did go there for a year. But at the
Years ago, LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, was the number one school district in the country.
I know.
We had consequences. I went there. Wherever we were stationed in America, people, you went there.
Yes.
You know, what a wonderful school district.
Right.
And now there is no consequences. There is so much waste, fraud, abuse, as people can read in the newspapers.
Yeah.
They did not call the paramedics.
Let's ask again. Were you teaching in class and a student took a fire extinguisher and sprayed you with it? Is that what happened?
Yes.
And he sprayed you in your face?
Right in my face.
Oh, my God. What happened? What happened right after that?
I was having a hard time breathing. I was gasping for air. I had a terrible headache. I had chest pains. I was ashen in color. I couldn't speak. I was holding my throat. I told kids to hurry up and get out of the class, away from the fire extinguisher. My nose was closing. My tongue was swelling.
Oh, my God.
My students were sick. The school never called the paramedics to help us.
Oh, my God. How did you get out of there? Didn't an ambulance come for you?
No. They never called an ambulance. Totally out of it. I spent most of the time in the bathroom. I was so sick.
Oh, my God.
They told me after 3 hours I'd have to drive myself home. But
you're kidding.
No. I've never been at a school that this is going on.
I know. And I want people to hear about the corruption that you've encountered. Did you file litigation against the school district, or did you just file a workers' complaint?
I want to say that they didn't call hazmat, and 180 students sat in the toxic chemicals, the yellow powder, all over the room for months. They didn't do anything to the students, and I know that there are students that are as sick as I am. I have nodules on my lungs. It burned my skin. It burned my organs. I have toxic fibromyalgia where I'm totally exhausted. I'm in excruciating pain. Last Saturday, I could have screamed from the pain.
To this day. What year did this happen? December 8th, what year?
2000.
2000. So it's been almost 13 years ago. Oh, my God, Rosie.
And I'm lucky I'm alive because Charles Smith, a believer, who somebody connected us, he was at Gompers in Los Angeles, and he was sprayed June of 2000. He died last year.
Oh, my God, because of the chemicals contained in that, whatever it is, right?
Because it causes such damage to your lungs.
Oh, my God. So tell us now what happened. You, of course, went to doctors, and did they diagnose your condition? Did they tell you what was
Well, they told me I had fibromyalgia and lung damage.
Oh, my goodness. So did you then file litigation, or did you just file a workers' compensation claim, and maybe we can explain what that means.
Okay, I filed a workers' comp claim. The school district in 2002 gave me an act of violence, which is very hard to get, which meant that by the doctor's medical report of toxic fibromyalgia and lung damage, I had physical injuries. Act of violence is physical injuries. That was 2002. Yeah. The workers' comp system should have sent me to the rheumatologist again to help me.
Let me disturb you just so people understand. People file for workers' compensation, which is also called workers' comp, when they're injured at work. And there's a whole set of judges who sit in that type of court to hear those kind of cases. And usually the employer will send the employee to their doctors, and the employee can also get her own doctors. So go ahead. So you were sent by the employer's doctors?
Right. And usually they send you to orthopedic doctors or psychiatrists, no matter what you have. Send you to the doctor you needed, like the same that they did to Charles.
Yeah.
And with LAUSD, there's supposed to be a 30 to 45-day turnaround on the payments for mileage and parking.
Yes.
For your money, but LAUSD took 4 years and 3 years and 2 years.
Oh, my God. And that's Los Angeles Unified School District. That was your employer, right?
Right, and that's the taxpayers' money.
Exactly.
The taxpayers' money is helping LAUSD with all the fraud, all the abuse, all the waste, and you're killing off injured workers.
Have you made that public as well as your case?
Yes. My articles are in the Daily Censored. The last one's a little longer, but there's more details there. I was in the People's Tribune in their newspaper. Randy Economy with Los Cerritos News has posted my story. And on Sundays, I'm a regular on the Reverend Pinckney Show, and we have a 500,000 people
and
listening
also,
now. And I'm so blessed to be on the show with him. He is a blessing from God. I cannot say that enough.
I'm blessed to have you. Let me ask you, don't you also have a website where people can go and read more about your story?
No, I don't, but I should have that. You know, they haven't paid me since 2009, and I'm losing my home, and I can't pay my bills, and there's been times I haven't had money for food.
Rosie, and where can people help you? If people can, where can they send you money? Is that okay to ask?
That's fine. They can email me at roziewow@aol.com. ROZYWOW@AOL.com.
And then you can give them information where they can send you some help if they can. So go ahead.
That would be a blessing. I'm still in the house. I tried to sell it. I haven't even been able to. I have no idea what God has, but the longer it goes on, the more the story gets out. Yes. And I'm hearing from injured workers across the country now.
Yes.
And there's millions of injured workers that are being treated in this unconscionable, horrific manner.
Tell us what happened to you and what you're hearing. And again, we're talking judicial corruption, a judge named Cohn, C-O-H-N, no relation to me, the way he became a doctor and he deprived you of your rights. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. So, in 2005, this doctor, Dr. Stauber, gave me a 100% rating, and I had seen him 5 times.
Which means that you're 100% disabled, right? That's the disability rating. Yes.
Right. And the rheumatologist, Dr. Silverman, gave me a 100% rating in 2008. And my trial, after being sprayed December 8th of 2000, did not start till March of 2010. And at that time, my workers' comp judge was Judge Gerald Cohn, who had been a judge for over 27 years. He received the Stanley Moss Legacy of Justice Award.
Which is terrible.
Judge Cohn made a medical diagnosis of an Axis II psychiatric diagnosis.
Yes.
Changed all the facts, line by line of the facts, in his opinions, decisions, and findings.
Yes. In other words, he became a doctor all of a sudden, right, without a license.
Yes, to lower my rating so I wasn't paid.
Oh, my God. Oh,
have
you
appealed
it? Yes.
What?
I asked if you appealed the case. Go ahead.
We appealed it to the Workers' Comp Appeals Board. April 1st of 2011, I won. We asked to have Judge Cohn removed, which they would not do. They asked Judge Cohn to reconsider my case.
Yes.
They asked to send Dr. Silverman's medical reports to Dr. Stahlberg, the psychiatrist.
Yes.
Judge Cohn had based his opinion on Dr. Stahlberg's 2008 medical report that the appeals board deemed unsubstantiated.
And then
there was no evidence for it. Judge Cohn, at that time, made an order, sent 1,000 pages of the trial briefings where he said the most vile, disgusting things about me, where he changed all the testimony, all the facts, case, made the medical diagnosis 2 pages of a Virga decision. Miss Virga not sprayed in her face with a fire extinguisher, but she had problems with the people she works with.
Oh, my God. By the way, have you considered suing him for defamation of your character?
I have tried to find a lawyer. If there's a lawyer out there, please contact me.
Yes.
I need a lawyer. Most of them are afraid of the other judges in the court.
Yes. Let me give your email out again so people know where to contact you. It's roziewow@gmail.com.
No, at AOL.com.
At AOL. Go ahead.
RZYWOW at AOL.com. And I need a lawyer. I need a hotshot lawyer. I have all the documented evidence. Well, what happened was...
Have you considered going to legal aid, by the way, to help you out? Because they would do it for free.
I have gone to so many different places that nobody can really help. It's just, it's unconscionable. Injured workers are so upset and depressed and frustrated, they end up dying from lack of care, and then they kill themselves, so many of them.
Oh,
this
my God.
The state of California is in the business of killing off injured workers as the insurance companies, the defense lawyers and doctors and judges are all a little deal going on here. It's unconscionable.
Terrible.
Okay,
it's
so I call him Dr. Judge Cohn, sent all the information to Dr. Stahlberg. Stahlberg had not seen me for 4 years, and under oath, he said he hadn't seen me for years. He didn't want to. He didn't have evidence. He changed all the facts. He adopted the judge's medical diagnosis, which he said was common sense.
Wow.
And he said, I was the evil twin of this Rosemary Berga. And he was paid, he hadn't seen me, mind you, he was paid $16,770. That's $700 a page for this bogus, substantiated report.
Wow. Have you tried to go before the U.S. Senate and Congress to testify about what happened to you and or the California legislature?
I have called Senator Pavley, Senator Krull before her, Assemblywoman Julia Brownlee, who's now a congresswoman. Yeah. No one helped me. I am not allowed to call, really, Senator Pavley's office. They tell me I have a lawyer, but a workers' comp administrative law judge is hired by the state of California, not elected, paid for by the state of California.
Right. Let me say this, Rosie. Because you have contact with injured people throughout the country, I would recommend you contact both Senator Feinstein and what's the other one's name? The other lady
Boxer.
With her? Boxer. And have
I them. I have sent them. I have contacted everybody, and they have said and written me letters back that it is a state issue. It is not a federal issue. I get the runaround all the time.
No. What you need to do is tell them it's true that your individual case is a state issue, but since you've been in contact with people all over the country, we're talking about interstate situation, not intrastate, but interstate. And keep it up and go write the media, you know, contact the LA Times, ask for an interview. Is there still a daily news in the San Fernando Valley?
Yes, but nobody is interested. I have contacted them for the last 10 years. I know Robert Kovacic, who's asked to get my story done. No one is interested in doing the story.
What you need to do is approach, and again, I cannot give legal advice, but I've done a lot of television and radio appearances. What you need to do is make them interested because of an overriding issue, not just your case. But the fact that how many thousands, did you say, of injured people throughout the country are not being
paid? Probably a million. That the same thing is happening, and all they really have to do is take care of people the right way. A lot of people could return to work.
Exactly. And that's the issue you need to approach him with, that it's not only about Rosie. Yours is just an example of what's going on a huge scale in the whole country. And what I would do if I were you, again, what I would do, and I've done things like that before, I would write the Washington Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times. Go to the national newspapers because you're talking about a national issue. Your case is a demonstration of what's happening on a huge scale. And I think the point you just made is excellent. You know, if these people were helped, they could go back to work, right?
And right. Exactly, but they make everybody sicker, right?
Exactly.
Delaying the medication, delaying the surgery, all the stress that they're giving. I have a question since you're a lawyer. I put a I put a complaint in about Judge Gerald Cohn for the second time.
It's
then in about 40 pages, received everything.
Who did you file the complaint with?
With the Ethics Advisory Committee.
For the workers' comp? Okay,
And the workers' comp can never tell me that a judge can't make a medical diagnosis and change all the facts. Every time I've asked that question, they will not answer me.
Have you contacted the medical board and tell them you have a judge practicing medicine without a license?
I did. I contacted and wrote up a complaint about Dr. Stahlberg.
Yeah, but I would do it about the judge as well if it were me. Again, I cannot give legal advice. But let me tell you, if you read my blog about corrupt judges, lawyers, and doctors, I know my legal rights. I filed complaints with the California Judicial Committee, and they declined to hear how judges were totally corrupt. In fact, the Supreme Court Chief Justice George, in fact, I believe, was threatened not to hear the case. They dismissed it within a week or so. Can you believe this? So
I believe it all now. If I had been, I thank them in Governor Brown's office for, by the grace of God, that I am in this, so I can tell other people that they are not alone.
Yeah.
I have never seen such corruption in my life.
Exactly.
It's shocking.
Same here.
A judge can't make a medical diagnosis and change all the facts in the case.
Right. I would really file complaints with the medical board against him. He's practicing medicine without a license. And I would send it to the newspapers if I were you. You know, what have you got to lose? You've done everything else. You know.
Right. I will continue. I haven't stopped. I call everywhere. I get tired, you know, when you've been injured and you're sick. It is so hard to keep getting up and doing this day in and day out. Because some days I'm in bed, and then I finally have a good moment. But I try to do something to encourage other people.
Yes, and I know you're very active in politics and your local community, and also you started many Bible clubs throughout the Los Angeles School District, right?
Right, when I was teaching, and I knew that I had seen hell being in Iran and see the devil in person.
Yeah.
So I knew that there was a hell. I've never been afraid to do that or to really speak up. I have a philosophy that if I'm going to die, it's important that I speak up.
Not for many, many, many years yet, but let me say too, Rosie, I too have fibromyalgia. Excuse me, and people don't realize how tired we get anyway, I mean, without the chemicals to which you've been subjected. So people, I encourage you to help Rosie. You write your legislators. You know, there's such apathy anymore, you know, such apostasy in the body of Christ, you know, and the dumbing down of America. You know, we see these ridiculous themes in movies, you know, and teaching has gone down the drain, you know, but somebody has to stand up and do something. So maybe in a way the Lord allowed this for you because he knew you would stand up. So I thank you on his behalf.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored. Thank you. I'm honored that God asked me to do this, really. And that's
exactly
what keeps me going.
Exactly.
And I am appalled, which I said on Reverend Pinckney's show, that an injured worker should die, and the fact that Charles Smith died.
Yes, that's unbelievable.
You know.
I think your big issue, if I may, make it a national issue, Rosie. You know, bring up the fact that you've heard from so many people that have had similar experiences. And if I were you, I would write to the conservative senators, you know, congressmen anymore, I don't know. Try the Tea Party or see if they would stand up for you. And, you know, there are committees, you know, in Congress, there are different committees to, you know, cover different things. Try to find committees about health care, committees about maybe even veterans. You know, you were married to an
veteran.
Right?
I still have my military ID card.
You see? Then I would use that. You know, they should pay attention to you as a former military wife, you know, if nothing else.
Right. When I called my congressman, I said with this Obamacare, they're going to take all our medical records and they're going to turn them over.
Oh, my.
Take the workers' comp medical records, which are bogus.
Yes.
Then it becomes federal issue.
You see what I'm saying? You're confirming what I'm saying. So it is a federal issue. So make it a federal issue. I wish I were in a position to help you. Like I say, I cannot practice law. But
I'm sorry you're not here. But what really gets me now is with the Ethics Committee over and over again that nobody can answer that. It's like that they've said again that the judge can make a medical diagnosis and change all the facts and it's just fine. And I would like to thank this Danny Whale from Daily Censored.
Yes.
A man who I've never met, who's given me a chance where my articles are out all the time.
Yeah.
And about the story, and I do say that I am not the only one.
Good.
I'm one of the few that will really speak up, because in the workers' comp system, the lawyers always say, don't say anything, it'll be okay. And here you are, 5 years later, 10 years later, 15 years later, your case is still going on. You're getting sicker, and nobody will help you.
And you're getting no pay. And you're getting no compensation, right?
I get no compensation now.
That's
I haven't been paid since 2009 because Dr. Stahlberg wrote a bogus report, and they said, well, of course they're going to lower it, and that's without a judge saying anything. So Sedgwick Insurance Company lowered my money, and then Dr. Judge Stahlberg, the judge, made the medical diagnosis, and Dr. Stahlberg was paid the $16,000 for the bogus report, and then they lowered it so I wouldn't get paid at all.
Unbelievable.
Which my lawyer, Peterson, is so wonderful. He appealed it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Good. You know, we only have a few minutes, maybe 2 minutes or so. So, Razie, what is it else? What else would you like to say in support of your case, what you'd like people to do? I'd like you to give out your email again. All in caps, Razie, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W, Razie Wow, at AOL.com. Razie Wow at AOL.com. Please help her, people. If you can financially, help her in every way you can. And Razie, what else would you like to say in the remaining couple of minutes?
Well, what's really on my heart now with the country the way it is, that we all help each other. We share our gifts and our blessings, because the schools are dumbing down our students, and we're going into the Third World War, so we must help each other. Whatever your gift, your talent is, share it with everybody. And there's so many people that are hurting and so many injured people. I need to hear from all of you, and I'd like to ask all of you to help me stand up.
Yes.
With I want to get people together for a letter writing campaign calling, and it is so important who you vote for. It makes a difference. And now I need everybody to call Congress.
Yes.
About everything. You're against Obamacare. You're not going to have a doctor. You're going to have workers' comp.
Right.
And the scandals, you need this stopped. You need to save America. Your voices need to be heard. But I thank you for this great blessing today of being on your show, to finally being able to talk to you. It's so hard to talk to that with my lung problems. That makes me tired, too.
Yeah.
But I thank everybody, and if you could help, it'd be great. And I also have a phone number myself.
Yes, if you may. Go ahead, if you'd like to give it out. Go ahead.
Yes, 818-631-0513. And just leave a message and I will get back to you. And anyone, I know what you're going through. Hugs to all the injured people. You are not alone. We are not alone in anything we're going through. And the Lord is incredible. I wouldn't have met Judge Eve this way. God brought us together. I was a valley girl that wanted to see the world, and I did, and he's given me, I have no money, but yet I'm now a radio star in Reverend Pinckney's. My articles are all over the internet, and who knows where God's going to take me.
Amen.
We don't have perfect health to achieve what God wants for our life. There's nothing impossible with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Razie, so much. You've been a blessing to me, and I know a blessing to all of the listeners. And we thank you, people, for listening today, for supporting Razie. And as she said, the Lord said we are to help one another. We're to love one another as He has loved us. You all have a blessed day. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, Rosie. God bless you. Thank you. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.